Можете стане.
Start your day today, Rabbi Moshe Stamler.
Good morning, everybody. If you've seen the weather outside, I think we have been becoming Beis Elohim Nelech, Barogesh, Barad, Ruach, Geshem, Sheleg. So I think it's a mix of rain, wind, and sleet, and snow. Last night I was preparing this shiur, sitting at the Beis HaMidrash, and Rabbi Katz came in, and there were lots of svarim on the table. So I explained to him I was doing Start the Day the Torah Way tomorrow. He said, what are you speaking about? So I said, I'm speaking about Lo Sachmoid. So he said, I don't envy you. One of the shiurs I'd like to deal with is whether actually I'm jealous of his sense of humour. Is that Lo Sachmoid? Well, let's see about that. I think every woman should be jealous of my wife that she has a husband with such a sense of humour. The only person who doesn't agree is my wife. She says I don't have one at all. So I actually was a teacher together with Rabbi Katz for many years in school. Sometimes you go to prepare a lesson, you come to the lesson and you start the lesson and the kids look very bored. And it's very annoying. So what I do is I say to them, how dare you be bored? Be interested. You have to be interested in my lesson. And of course they laugh, because it's Mishugas. But this is one of the questions which the famous Ibn Ezra question on Lo Sachmoid. The Ibn Ezra asks, Rabbi Yitzmohu, many people are amazed at this mitzvah. How can it be? How can the Torah command you a feeling, command you not to be jealous? You see something beautiful, something which belongs to somebody else, you want it. So the Ibn Ezra's famous answer is the moshel of the Ish Kafri. You have a simple villager, Sheishlo Das Nchon, if he's got a correct das, Vuhura Bas Melech Sheyofi, he sees a beautiful princess. Lo Yachavod Oysa Beliboy, Sheishkavim, he's not going to want to marry her. Ki Yeda Kizeh Lo Yitach, and he knows it's not possible. Val Yachso Zeha Kafri Shehu Ke'ech Minam Shugoyim, no one's going to think he's crazy. Sheis Aver Sheyelo Kenafayim Lo Uf Bashamayim, that he'd have wings to fly. But lo yitakin yot, it's something which is impossible. Kashein odom misaveh lishkoiv im imo, a person that doesn't have desires to have relations with his mother. Avafa pishe yofi, she may be beautiful. Ki hirgiru minu urav ladas shehi asrula, they've got him used from his, he knows, he's used to it, that she's forbidden to him. And so that's how a person has to think. If somebody else has their money, their wife, whatever it is, that it comes to a person, min hashamayim, he quotes the pasuk in Kehelis, la adam shelo amal boy, he's nelo chelkoi. The person, Hashem gives it to the person who hasn't toiled through it. Baruch Hachomim, b'ni chayim, mazoni lav, zchusa talya milsa. Children, life, and Muslim is not toiling on zchus, el b'mazle, it's toiling on the muzzle. But the avor zeh, hamaskil lo yisaveh v'lo yachman. Because of this, someone's got common sense. He's not going to have a chemda, a desire for something which he knows is also, it's beyond his tuchum. And v'yoseh, he has to know that another woman is yoseh, he niskova v'einav mibas melech b'leiv ha-kafri, that something which belongs to someone else is higher and more elevated and more distant from me than the princess is to this ish kafri, to the simple villager. V'al kein hu yismach v'chelkoi, therefore be happy in his lot. V'al yosem el liboy lachmoy v'disavos dovash she'enu shalom, he was not going to desire anything which does not belong to him. He knows Hashem didn't want to give it to him. Whatever he does, it's not going to help. He can't take it away from that other person. He'll trust in Hashem that he will look after him and do the good in his eyes. Now the truth is, I think that the media nowadays perhaps maybe eroded this moshe a little bit, because you know, you put on the radio and you hear every Tom, Dick and Harry expressing his opinion and being built up by the people running the radio programs to make them feel that somehow they're very important and they have a say in the world. And the whole of, you know, the whole of the film industry is based on fantasy. So people, I think it's a little bit different. But imagine somewhere, you know, somewhere in darkest Africa or in Asia, a very, very simple village, and a villager there, I think you can still see the moshel. Somebody there will understand that the daughter of the king is simply beyond him. So this approach of the Ibn Ezra is based on emunah. That something which isn't mine is as far away to me as the princess is to the villager. And a similar approach is taken by the Sephorno, who says, this thing should be nimna, prevented, something totally forbidden, something totally beyond you. Because something which is totally impossible, you don't desire it. It's naturally, you don't naturally desire something which is impossible. And it brings an interesting pasuk. k'inyan v'lo yachmud ish es artzacha. The pasuk says, "No one will desire your land." Where does the pasuk come from? It comes in, I think it's in Kisisa. The pasuk says, "Go up l'regel." Anthony, correct me. Is it Kisisa? Is it Kisisa? When you go up l'regel, lo yachmud ish es artzacha. No one's going to desire your land. He's taking this as a nace here that although Eretz Yisrael is empty of all the males, they've all gone up to Yerushalayim. There'll be a nace that nobody will desire your land. Hashem will prevent it from happening. He says the same thing here. If you understand it, it's nimna mimcha, something which is beyond you, then you will not desire it. The Al-Sheikh has a similar approach. He goes to the Aseret HaDibros and he points out how they all correspond to various Ma'amorim of Hashem in Bereishis. So he says, what is the Ma'amor in Bereishis which corresponds to Lo Yachmod? He says, it corresponds to the pasuk that says, Hashem says, Lo Tov Yos Ha'odom Levadoi. It's not good for a person to be on his own. And he explains that it's not good for a person to be on his own, and therefore he should marry. Even if he would marry somebody who is not Basug, or he's not his Basug, that would still be a tremendous tov of him. But not only that, Hashem's done even more. He's given him his own Basug, his own wife, whose neshama corresponds to his own neshama. And he goes to the machlokis about whether Adam and Chava were created separately or created as one. He says, according to the man Amar, that Adam and Chava created one, says that it means that Betzim, a man and a woman are one, a basa echad. So how can you desire someone else's wife? They are one unit. The husband and wife, they're one unit. You know, I think they say that when you say, they should be happy as in a Gaden. In Gan Eden, Adam and Chava, there was nobody else there. They were the only ones. So they knew they were made for each other. So he says, that's what a person should feel. This the Lo Sachmoid corresponds to the fact that Hashem created Adam and Chava together as one unit. There was once, I heard this Maisa, I don't know if it's, how reliable it is, but I heard the Maisa, there was a certain couple, they were Bali Teshuvah, he was a Kohen, they'd not been from before, and they were engaged. And then it became apparent to them, because the way she lived her life, she was also to him. And they were completely broken by this, so they went to one of the Gedolim, and he said to them, imagine that you go down to a Mekubal somewhere, let's say Tzivot, I don't know if you said that, they go down to a Mekubal, and he would look at the two of you, and he'd say, I see in the Shorish of your Neshomas, you're not meant for each other. What would you feel? He'd say, well, he looked at the Shomas, he sees we're not meant for each other, so we'd accept it. He says, well, can you have a greater Mekubal than Hashem himself? If Hashem says, Al-Pi Halacha, you're not right for each other, then it must be that your neshomas are not makbil to each other, and therefore it's not correct you should get married. And they were Mekubal there. Now, the pasuk finishes off, V'chol Asher L'Reacha. And the Satmar Rav says, V'chol Asher L'Reacha is telling you that it's a package deal. You know, sometimes you go past a house, oh, beautiful house. I'd like to have that house. But, you know, if you want to have that house, you've got to have this guy's life as well. You've got to have his business, you know, his all the ulcers that he has, the sleepless nights, the achrayas he feels over his business, the people who he can't talk to because he wants you to employ them, he doesn't employ them anymore. That's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. You know the story about the Plotnik Diamonds. Plotnik Diamond, there's a woman who gets on a plane, and she's sitting there, and another woman comes and sits next to her. She looks at this woman, she's got a fur coat, you can't believe what it's like, and she's covered in jewellery. But the one thing she can't take her eyes off is this enormous diamond on her finger. This massive diamond. She's never seen such a big diamond. The woman says, I see, you're admiring my diamond. She says, this is the famous Plotnik diamond. She says, but you should know that with this diamond comes a terrible curse. She says, what is it? She says, Mr. Plotnik. So that is the package deal. That v'chol asher l'reacha, everything that he has, your life's a package deal. Hashem gives you what you need, and if you look at one aspect of someone else's life, that's taking out of context, and the emphasis is v'chol asher l'reacha. Rav Dessler says, have you ever seen somebody be jealous of someone else's glasses? You might be jealous of their frame, but are you jealous of the lens? Am I jealous of your contact lenses? No, I'm not. Why? Because I know that they're tailor-made for you. It's the same thing here, that when it comes to life, everything is tailor-made for ourselves. Now, the Ksav Kabbalah says that if a heart is full with desire and love of Hashem, it's brimming over, it's like a cup that's flowing over. If you have a cup that's flowing over, you try and put something else, and there's no room for it. So it says a heart that's full of love of Hashem, there'll be no room for the chemdos that Lo Sachmud is telling us not to have. That's a high madrega, but he's telling us that. I'll mention that in a minute. And the Sifri Chassidus elevate, take the idea you take the chem that you have for this world, you elevate it for a teshuka for Hashem. And then the negative side becomes bottle. Imagine you've got a little match. You take this match and you put it inside an enormous bonfire. Because you can't see the match anymore. So they say that if you take the love of Hashem, you build up the love of Hashem, then the love you have for this world gets sort of subsumed into that fire of love of Hashem, and it will become bottled to it. So the negative side becomes bottled to the positive. The Sfas Emes says, if we desire the pleasures of this world, we also have to yearn to fulfill the word of Hashem. And he says an interesting pshat. He says, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, you have to battle your rotzon before his rotzon. He says that's what it means. You take your rotzon, you have a rotzon for Olam Hazeh, and you elevate it to a love of Hashem, and then naturally you will become more and more close to Hashem, and that's what it means. Battle tzon mipnei rotzono. There's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah which says the following. Reish Lakish says, "B'shalosh shoshonot shel chibur, chibur b'kodesh baruch hu es Yisrael." Hashem loves Klal Yisrael with three expressions of desire: b'dveika, attachment; b'chashika, means desire; u'b'chafitza, and wanting. And he brings pesukim on all these things. And he says, we learn these all out from the parsha of Shechem ben Hamor. It says about Shechem these three expressions: dveika, chashika, and chafitza. And we learn out from that. Now, I think what this Medrash is saying is the same idea, that this is a man who has experienced the most base strong desires. And we say that these strong desires expressed in three ways, we find that Hashem expresses his love for us in these three ways. Now, we know the Pasuk says, Kamayim aponim aponim kein lepa adon. Adon, the way someone feels towards you, you feel back towards them. So if we know that Hashem loves us with such a strong love, that these expressions of base desires, extremely strong desire that caused Shechem to do such a terrible thing, if that is the level of desire that Hashem has for us, then in return for that, we should have a desire for Hashem, and that's the idea of taking the desires of Olam Hazeh and bringing it closer to Hashem. Now this may seem very far off. A chassid once asked the Rebbe, he says, I don't feel this, he says, how come? So the Rebbe answered, it says, Kamayim haponim haponim, like the reflection you see in water. It doesn't say like in a mirror, but in water. Why? Because in a mirror, you can see from a great distance. You see a reflection of a long way away. In water, you have to be quite close. The closer we come to Hashem, he says, the more we will see the reflection we get. If we're close to Hashem, then we will feel the more that he loves us, we will love him. Now, up to now, this is an ordered approach, and how can we be commanded to have a certain feeling is natural to desire, and it's answering from the point of view of Emunah. The Beis Halevi takes a different approach. It's more from the approach of Yira. Now he gives a moshel. Imagine there's a man who's on the way to fulfill his desire. He's got this very strong desire. Let's take the example that I know from Rabbi Kupitz. When I first arrived in Manchester, we came out to Rabbi Kupitz, and on the table there was a cake, sort of a U-shape, covered in completely black icing. And we asked him, what's this? So he explained that when he gives shirim to people who are not so frum, and he wants to speak about the Yetzer Hara, he doesn't like to take the example of something which is no good to them. Because the moment, someone who's got a problem with Chilul Shabbos, a business open on Shabbos, you start speaking about Shabbos, the Yetzer Hara of Shabbos, they're going to clam up. So I always like to take an example, he says, of something which is not going to affect them. So he said, I'll give an example. He says, how many of us desire to eat blood? We don't particularly desire to eat blood. So I take the moshel of a black pudding. A black pudding, I don't know exactly how you make a black pudding, but it's black because it's got a lot of blood in it. So it's very tray if it's got lots of blood in it. So I always give an example of the black pudding. And so after a few times of doing this, they want to give me a present. So they got a cake, and they got Jack Morrow to take the cake and make it to a black pudding cake. So this is a black pudding. They didn't fancy it. We had it. I must admit, I didn't really fancy it either very much, because when you ate it, you felt like you were just eating concentrated food colouring. But that's the black pudding. So there's this guy, and he's on the way to eat the black pudding. But to get there, he has to go over a river which is frozen. So as he's going along on the river, suddenly he slips. And he's just about to fall, and he rights himself. He says, at that split second, when he was about to fall, did he feel that desire for the black pudding? Did he have a chemta for it? No. Why? Because the yira, the falling, takes away the desire. You can connect to this. That Chazal tell us that when the Roch of Azona, she said that the nations of this land are terrified of Klal Yisrael. She says, "V'lo koma oid ish b'fneichem, od ruach ish b'fneichem." She said that the ruach of any no person stood up before you. And Chazal tell us it means, Rashi brings it there, afil ishkav emishtah, that the men were not even, no one came to Rachav. They were so scared that the chemda, the desire, went completely away. So this is the basic idea saying, when a person has enough yirah shamayim, then the desire simply goes away. The Chazon Ish loved this thought. And so I brought down in two svarim that he loved this word so much that he didn't get calm until he said, "Ruim hadvarim lemisha amram." These words are appropriate for the person who said it, because the Beis HaLevi's Yerushalayim was amazing. The Dain of Rabshi said that try thinking for 5 minutes in a day, just pure Yerushalayim, just have pachad of Hashem for 5 minutes. He says it's hard to do that for 5 minutes. The Beis HaLevi, 24 hours a day, he had Yerushalayim. It was always, the whole time, he had total Yerushalayim. Rabbi Sublaza also said the same thing about the Levi, his Yerushalayim. So therefore the Beis HaLevi was capable to say that if you have enough Yerushalayim, then you won't even feel the chemda. If the Torah says you can't do it, then you can't do it. You know, once Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, in the old days when an international phone call cost a fortune and it was very rare, so once he'd finished Shemoneh Esrei and they called him and said there's an international phone call, and he was about to go there and he saw the sun was davening Shemoneh Esrei, and he said, "I can't walk in front of him." So I said, "It's a phone call." He said, "I can't. It's just there's a wall here." So when people have enough Yirah Shamayim, the Rotzon Hashem is like a wall. It's a wall there, and it just stops you from doing what the Torah says not to do. There's a Kiras Yitzchak, and the Pasuk after Aseret Dibros, the Pasuk says, "Lavavor Nasto Teschem Bo Elokim." Hashem comes to test you. "Vavotia Yirosa Al Paneichem Nebilti Sechatov." Hashem's Yirah should be on your face, so that you don't sin. And the Beis HaLevi says, he quotes this pasuk, that if you have Yirah Shamayim, built Yisechatoy, you won't sin. And on this phrase, Nasois Eschem, to try you out, to test you, the Kiras Yitzchak says it's the Loshon of Nisoyim, that the strength to stand in a Nisoyim comes from the Yirah Shamayim that everyone's Neshama got at the Har Sinai. When Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, that pachad is deep down in a Neshama. And he gives the Moshe, he tells a story about that there was a certain Jew, not particularly religious Jew, but he was asked by the Spanish Inquisition to convert to Christianity, and he refused. And they said, "We'll offer you any riches you want, any success you want." He refused. And they said, "We'll torture you." And he was tortured to death. He refused. And about this, the Kinesi said, "Where did he get this card from?" Bavola Nasa says to him, "The ability to stand in a Nisayim comes from the Yirah Shamayim that Hashem has given us at Har Sinai." He goes, "Moshe, if somebody is running away from a bee, and then he sees a lion, the fear of the lion overtakes the fear of the bee." So it's the same thing. The Yirah Shamayim that we have deep down in us, if we just activate us, it is enough to stand in the face of an Nisayim. Now, the Ibn Ezra, we were quoting this after with the Ibn Ezra, who had an approach that the way we come not to do Lo Sachmoid is through Emunah, and we have the Beis HaLevi through Yirah Shamayim. On the Abi Ezri, just in terms of this mitzvah, its position in the Aseret HaDibros, says that Lo Sachmud is the end of the Aseret HaDibros because it's a klal which guards all the other mitzvahs. He says, for example, a person's chemdas hamoman, a person that can lead them to want to work on Shabbos, it can lead them to false shvuos, lead them to murder, it can lead them to be pogay in the kavod of their parents, and of course chemda can lead to adultery and so on. So the way that the ma'amid of the Aseret HaDibros is through Lo Sachmoid. A person is able to be Mekayim Lo Sachmoid. The Baal HaTurim points out that the connection between it says Lo Sachmoid after giving false edus. Why? He says because a very common scenario could be a person wants to give false edus. He's fallen in love with a certain woman, the husband's around, but he's overseas. So that he'll give edus that the husband is dead, and therefore he'll be able to marry her. And that's why the pasuk carries on and it says Lo Sachmoid Esrehu v'shoroiv adon, and the Mechilta says on this, because what will happen is a person will commit adultery, the husband won't know, there'll be a child from this, the husband will think it's his child, and he'll end up giving over all his property to this child who's not really his child. So that's what it says, Lo Sachmoid, you sachmoid his wife, and as a result, his field, all his property will go to somebody else. That's how the Mechilta learns Pshat in this. Okay. The Rav Nachshoni says that the Torah starts with a mitzvah of Emunah, Anuchi Hashem, which is a mitzvah on our thoughts, and finishes with a Sachmoid, which is a mitzvah on our thoughts, to show us that the Torah is not only commanding us in Maisa, but also commanding us in Machshava. So now I'd like to go a little bit into the parameters of this lav. What exactly is involved in this lav of losachavid? And we're going to see that to some extent, that the Rishonim and the Mefarshim that we've spoken to up to now take it slightly differently, the way it is an actual practical halacha. So let's start with a Meister Shah, somebody I know very well. They lived in a house on a very prestigious street in a wealthy area in London, and this house has been divided up into flats. They lived in one of the flats on the top floor, and down below there was a fellow who wanted this whole house. And he pestered them and pestered them and pestered them, and they refused. And eventually, he basically gave them an offer they couldn't refuse. He offered to relocate them to somewhere else, to another place in the area. He gave them a lot of money to do up this place. And then they moved out. In Lice, it worked out very well for them because they got older and this new place was much nearer the shul. It was very good for them. And this person who moved out, he watched the building in process, and he was standing there watching. And the contractor said, watching him, well, what are you doing here? He explained, I used to live here, so I'm watching it. So the man started chatting with him. He said, you know something? He said, you see these door handles there? He said, they're made of gold. Every single door handle is worth £1,000. So, and it was this place, eventually, I think they sold about 37 million, something like that. So the question is, if somebody offers enough money, you know, you'll do it. I mean, I'll use the advertising, free advertising, courtesy of Mr. Zaltzman. If anyone offers me five million for my house, I'll sell it. Anyone interested? So the question is, has this person been over on the side? Obviously, it wasn't a Jewish person, but would it be awesome to do such a thing? So let's start. First of all, let's look at the psukim. There are two psukim, one in by Ischanan and one here. Now over here it says v'lo sachmet v'esu'echa v'lo sachmet esu'echa v'avdu v'amosu v'shoru v'chamoru v'chola she'lirecha. And in Vaishan it says, "Lo sachmod eishesuecha, v'lo tisave beisreecha." Don't desire the house and the sodeh after the mosque and so on. By the way, it's written choseh, lo sachmod, written well the vav. And on this, the Sefer Hasidim says, since it's written choseh, you can read it, lo sachamed. He says, "As harashalo leyapois atzmo kadesh yisha be'enei eishesuehu." A person who dresses himself up to attract a woman who's married to somebody else, that is lo sachamid, you're causing the other person to desire you. Or, alternatively, he says, lo sachmid, lo yishabeach isha yofa b'fnei chaver, you shouldn't praise a beautiful woman in the eyes of his friend, shema yigra acharecha v'hai b'chait, because maybe that person will be attracted to her and you'll have the chait. So lo sachamid eishas re'echa l'acherim, lo sachmid, you shouldn't cause it, that you're someone else's wife to be desired by somebody else. Now, on this pasuk, the Mechilta says, "Lo sachmoid," and it says "Lo sisav." What these two lavim? He says one is to be mechayiv for the taiva b'fnei atzmo, and the other one is to be mechayiv for the chemda b'fnei atzmo. So, the Rambam and the Tosfos and the Ravid all have different views on this. First of all, the Tosfos has a view, according to one pshat and Tosfos, that this person is only over the avera if they take the thing without paying. Because the Gemara in Bava and Seir says, imagine a case like this. Imagine that some new edition has come out of some article and there's a few left and I'm behind in the queue and the guy in front gets it and I don't get it. A few days later he hears I'm going to Eretz Israel. He says, could you please take it to Israel and give it to my children? So I go to Israel, I come back and I say, I'm very, very sorry, but you know, something's got, I've lost it. I was pusher. What happened is I left it in the car, I didn't lock the car, and someone took it. So the guy's a bit suspicious. You know, this was the last edition of the thing. He got the last one. I didn't get it. And he gives it to me and suddenly it's disappeared. So can you make a shavuah? So the Gemara says, yes, you can make. Rav Huna says, mashbim oso shavuah she'eni b'shusso. He's going to make a shavuah, but he hasn't put his eyes on it and take it for himself. The Gemara says, what point in making a shavuah? This guy, he's choshed, because he's choshed a moment. So he said, no, because he intends to pay. The Gemara asks, but he's over on the sachmoid. This person, he's been over on the sachmoid. And the Gemara answers, no. People think that lo sachmoid means without money. They think lo sachmoid means if you take something, you desire it, you take it, but you don't pay. But if you're paying, they think there's lo sachmoid. So the shaila is, does the Gemara mean that they're right or that they're wrong? So Tosfos has two pshatim. According to the first pshat Tosfos, although it's mashma from the Gemara that they think that it's only if you don't pay, but if they're wrong, no, that is pshat. You're only over on the sachmoid if you take something without paying. So that means if I go to somebody, I pester them to pay me, to give it to me, and I pay them for it, then according to that Pshat Tosfos there is no problem. However, let's look at the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Kol hachoymed avdoi o amasoi o beiso v'kedesh al chaveroi o kol davar she'efshe shelo yiknehu mimenu." Anything he desires, something which is possible, he can take. V'hichmid alav bereim, and he lays it on heavy with friendship and so on. It might mean reim, it might mean friends. I'm not sure whether it's friends or friendship. Hifted boy and persuaded him as she lachom imenu till he took it from him. Afal pisha noisin lo domim rabim, even though he paid him a fortune, he paid him 37 million for this. Even though he paid him, how is the oiver lo sainse shelema lo sachmoid? He's still oiver on lo sachmoid, even though he paid. The ain lokin alav ze mipnei she ain bo meisa. But there's no malchus for this because there's no action here, and. He's only over if he takes the object. So even though he's paid, not like Tosfos, the Rambam holds that he's over on this. The Ravid, however, adds 2 points. First of all, the Ravid says he's over on this, and he took it from him. Veloy Omar rotze ani. The seller didn't say I want to, but if the seller says I want to, he's maskim, then there's no lo sachmoid according to the Ravid, once he agrees. And the Ravid also asks on the Rambam says there's no malchus because it's a lav she'ein bo meisa. The Ravid says, what do you mean there's no meisa here? The Rambam says, until you take the object, that is it. The Magen Mishnah and the Stipe from Birkos Peres explain that the Rambam and the Ravid are arguing like this. The Rambam holds the ikar aveira is in the heart, the wanting to take it. But there's a condition only if you actually take it from him. But the main aveira is in the heart, and that is a lav she'ein bo meisa. There's no action there. With the Ravid holds, the Ikka thing, it's like a type of theft. Because the Ravid learns, he's talking about where he doesn't want to, and you still take it from him. So even though you paid him, it's like a type of theft, because you forced him to give you something, to sell something, that he doesn't really want to sell. So that's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Now, there's also Losi Sava. So the Rambam explains, Kol hamis ave beso ishto v'kedo shal chaveru, someone who desires someone else's wife or his house, and so on. Once he starts thinking, how am I going to get this thing? How can I acquire this? Then he's done the lo sase. So lo sisave, according to the Rambam, is not just I want it, but thinking I want it, and starting to think, how am I going to get it? Once you start thinking how you're going to get it, that's lo sisave. Now let's remind us of the kasha that the Ibn Ezra and others asked. They asked, how could you be expected to command your emotions? So the chora of the Rambam and the Ravid and the Tosfos are all learning a different mahalach here. They're learning that the Avera, the actual Avera itself, is only when you do an action. So I think the pshat is like this. There's a technical Avera where you've actually done the Lav, but then there's the Lifnim, Mishur Sadin of the Lav. And the Kavon of the Torah obviously is that we shouldn't have tithe in our hearts at all, even if we don't intend to take it. And on that, they ask the Kasha, how can it be? And they give their answers. But the actual technical Lav, you only over this Lav if you actually go ahead and you intend to take it, you make plans to take it, and so on. And the Shulchan Aruch has a Shulchan Aruch Paskan. Let me read out to you, and you tell me how is he passing. Is he passing like the Tosfos, who says that the moment you pay money, there's no love? Or like the Rambam, or the Ravid is the next most lenient dear, he says, it's only when you take it, even though you pay money, but the person was unwilling to do it? Or the Rambam, who says, if you over-persuade him, even if he says, I want to, if he's muslim to do it, nevertheless, you've been over. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol hachoymed avdoi, or masoi, or beso, or kedish, or chavero, or kol davar she'efshe she'yiknehu mimenu, he desires it, v'hichmid elav reim, v'hivtzi boi, ad she'lokhum, and he persuades him until he took it from him, ha'izah oivir b'lo sachmoid, he's transgressing b'lo sachmoid. So how's he paskening? He's passing out the Rambam. That even though he paid in the money and the person doesn't, and even the person was masking, he's still the over on the sachmoid. And then he brings also for the Rambam misava, someone who desires something and starts thinking about how he's going to get it from the other person, he's over on this. So, and the Mepharshim say, since the machlokes have shown him it's a shayla d'oraisa, we have to machmir like the Rambam and like the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore it's called the sachmoid. If you try and persuade the person too many times, even though he's maskim in the end, you'll be over in lo sachmoid. What I want to know is what happens if you start off, if you put up the price. The person, I'm not prepared to sell in my house. Yeah, I know intention to sell in my house, but come along and say to me, okay, well, for 1 million, 2 million, is that Is that called? Because you're not being master. You're not persuading the person. You're not shepherding him. You're just trying to increase the price. Whether that would be allowed or not, as often happens in these, so you start getting the interesting shilas, and before you, and then you run out of time to really look through them. I have another interesting shilah. I want to know what is the shila, what is the din like this? Quite often you have somebody like this. There's a syndicate, right? And the syndicate people, you can see, don't really want to include you in the syndicate. And you start, he's chepering them. You bother them. You know, that's how business works. You have to bother them. Is that called lo sakmoid? Because they're not actually selling you something. They're doing a service for you. They're arranging the deal and so on, but they're not actually selling it to you. So is that bechal lo sakmoid? That's one of the issues. One of the issues that Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Fisher had a shaila. He was asked, is it lo sakmoid? There was a case of a brother and a sister, and the sister needed a kidney transplant, and they wanted to know, is it lo sakmoid for the parents to put pressure on the brother to give the kidney, to donate his kidney? And he says there's two reasons why he thinks it isn't bechal lo sakmoid. First of all, he says that lo sakmoid is on something which is nearer, something you can see. It's interesting, he says something you can see. You can't see the kidney, so therefore it's lo sakmoid. And also says it's not lo sakmoid if you're doing it for somebody else. They don't want it for themselves, they want it for somebody else.
A broker.
Right, because he's going. Yeah, if he's doing on some stuff, but it could be if he gets his commission, maybe he would be going. The lot of shayla is how far the sakmoid goes. Now the Aruch HaShulchan says that even where you're not actually over, it's still a midas chasidus, even in your heart, not to think I want to have such a thing. The Rambam's Loshen is something which is Efshar Sheikneu Menu, which is based on the Mechilta, something which is possible to take from him. So for example, he says, if Reuven has learned a Chochma, or some Melocha, and Shimon wants to know this Melocha, and he chepers Reuven to teach it to him, he says, that is not Bechal Lo Sakmoid, because it has to be something which is a Bar Kinyan. So my jealousy of Rabbi Katz's sense of humor would not be Lo Sakmoid. The Mechilta also says, if someone says, I wish my hair was like his hair, my eyes were like his eyes, that's not the sakhmoid. It's not something that's shaykh to buy. The Mechilta also says, what happens if you desire, there's someone's got a daughter, a son, and you want their hand in marriage, right? So is that lo sakhmoid? Someone's not married. Is that lo sakhmoid? So the Mechilta says, it's not lo sakhmoid. It has to be something which is bishuscha. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains, because you might have thought that the child's in the reshus of the parents, and therefore it's lo sakhmoid. Says no, it has to be reshus, so that it's not really in the reshus of the father. The child, even if the child's a katan and a katana, but when they grow up, they'll have their own da. So therefore, the lo sakhmoid doesn't apply to that. It does apply on the wife, for someone who's chomed someone else's wife, even though it's not bishuso, because it has to be that the husband divorces her. And then she may ask for a marriage, but the attempt to try and get the wife away from the husband is also bechal lo sakhmoid. The interesting, there's a whole lot of Mari Makomis which I downloaded, and in there it's got a whole article on this for someone called Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, Rambi Yeshivas Esos Torah of Manchester. So I don't know the history of Esos Torah, whether Unzer Chotkover, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, was a Magashir, was he? He was a Magashir there. So he goes through a lot of these shaylas here. There's a sefer called Reach Lechamoich, and he brings many of the halacha lemaisa things. He says one has to be careful not to desire someone else's job. So if his example, it says there's a rebbe in a school, and he's jealous of the person who's made the head of department and so on. That's also bichlal lo sisaveh and lo sachmoid. Or, for example, even a job like is a nebocha in yeshiva, and who's in charge of the kinyan svarim. Another bocha jealous of that. That's also called lo sakmoid. The Chofetz Chaim speaks about the case of somebody who, in the case of shidduch, where they pressure the other side into giving too much, and that's also called lo sakmoid. There is a shaila of how much is called too much. Persuading the person too much. So the Betzela Chochma, that was Rabbi Salel Stern, Zichron Livracha. He was a Rav in Vienna and then in Australia, and we went to Eretz Yisrael. When I lived in Eretz Yisrael, I lived in Sorotskin Street, and right below our dear, if I jumped out my window, I would have gone through the roof of a Beis HaMedrash. He was the Rav at the Beis HaMedrash, a very quiet, unassuming person. I didn't have any idea at the time what an unbelievable Talmud Chochem he was. You've got loads and loads of tshuvas, and especially if you want to know where to look up on tshuvas all about the dateline, he's the one, because living in Australia, this guy came up a lot, so he has lots of tshuvas about the dateline. So he says there that three times is already, if you straight ask the person and ask them again and again, three times already, that's Bichlal Sachmoid. Now the Rabbeinu Yonah, and let me read out what the Rabbeinu Yonah says, which is an important point here, because it depends who the person is. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, he also goes like the Rambam, he says, if you try and persuade someone to give something and you make tachbulas to them, he'd give it to you, gam ki nosan mikram, even if they paid the money, it's still over the sachmoid. Even the thought, not even to agree in our mind to do it. If he wants someone to sell such a thing to him, he doesn't want to sell it, which sounds like the rivalry, that if the person does want to sell it, it's okay. Then you're not allowed to persuade him. It's like hechrich and onis. The portion discuss also, the poskim discuss what happens when it's not a situation I go to and I want him to sell his house. Something that's actually for sale. I'm a businessman, I'm selling something. Someone comes up to me and tries to persuade me to sell it to them rather than somebody else. It may be there that there's no sachmod, because that's omid l'mechir. It's only when something which isn't for sale at all.
If it's not for sale, the person is not sure, he tries to persuade him, I'll think about it, can you meet him again?
Yeah.
Well, have you thought about it yet? Not yet. Driving him mad. Okay. He's still not said no, I'm not selling.
Right. It could be that if he's not actually said I'm not interested, then he's not persuaded there, because if you think about it. Yeah, he could maybe go after two times is certainly okay. It could be you can ask him, can I approach you? I tell you, one of the big problems, of course, I have running a cola is this issue of stocker. They say it doesn't actually apply to stocker, but it's a very hard thing. How much do you check with the person? You never know, it's very, very hard. What? No. Giving stock, they say, yeah, giving stock is not the sach. First of all, we mentioned before that it's for somebody else, it's not the sachmoid. But there's also a discussion about if it's a chevish shal mitzvah, maybe there's no lo sachmoid on that as well. But let me just finish this Rabbeinu Yonah, where he says, if the person who's asking is a chosh of a person, if he asks him, they're not going to refuse him. He can't ask for it unless he knows he's going to give it. So it says a chosher person is much worse, because then you know that to be asking is going to cause a problem. This learned how from a Gemara, where it was Rav Popper was going to make the arrangements with his mechutan, and he asked a certain other Rav to come in, and the Rav said, I don't want to come in, and he persuaded him, he came in, and the mechutan was discussing with him, and the other Rav kept quiet because he didn't like being there, he felt uncomfortable, and the Bechutin thought the reason why he was quiet because he wasn't generous enough, so he gave more and more, and eventually he said, I'm giving everything away, aren't you happy? And he said, as far as I'm concerned, I kept quiet because I wasn't trying to say to you anything at all. You wouldn't have said you'd even give him this amount. So he said, well, shall I retract? He says, no, I'm not telling you to retract. So you see from there that if somebody is an Adam Choshev, it makes the whole situation different. So that's what, if Adam Choshev shouldn't do that. Let me just finish off with the words of the Pedayot, who speaks about what exactly you are allowed to, what you're not allowed to, what's the Midas Hasidus. But he says, but at the end of the day, this is all, it's all Hevel, and Hevel Havolim. Rak Yachmod Ish Lahasik Chochma Tvuna, a person's desire should be to acquire wisdom, or Midas Toivus, the Yisharis, Lehidamas, the Kadosha Elyonim, to be like the Choshev people, the Kadosha Elyon, Gugondom Mitzvah Lekanos, the Lachmod Lavod. There's a mitzvah to have jealousy, and to desire, and to love. Akanoshon.